think everybody was awake. Thank the Lord for granting our dear brother Paul liberty to preach the gospel today. I believe he had the word of reconciliation. And you know, the word of reconciliation, bringing the word, which is the gospel, the good news, is work. But it's nothing compared to the work of reconciliation that Jesus did on the cross. And so we thank God for the word of reconciliation, which is still with us today. And, you know, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, asked the church to pray. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly." And that's what Brother Paul was doing today. God gave him utterance, and he opened his mouth boldly. He didn't act too bashful. He was very bold. And Paul is asking the church to pray for him, that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul describes himself as an ambassador. And that's what ministers of the gospel are. They are ambassadors. Our country has many ambassadors all over the world. But they are chosen to represent our country. I can't just go to the president and say, "I want to volunteer to be an ambassador to England." Yeah. I have to be chosen. Yeah. And I believe God chooses ministers.
Amen.
It's not something you volunteer for, but you have to be chosen. It's not a mama called and daddy sent arrangement.
Right.
God has to call men to preach. We know that was true with the prophets. Jeremiah was known of God while he was being formed in his mother's womb and called to be a prophet. Prophets were sent by God. We know John the Baptist was called of God. The Bible says there was a man. We always need to remember that preachers are just men. There was a man sent from God. That was John.
Right.
And all true ministers are sent by God. There was a man sent by God. Paul, do y'all think he was called? We know he was called on the Damascus Road. He was on his way to destroy the church. He certainly was an ambassador of Jesus Christ. But God called him. And all ministers, true ministers, have to be called by God. As much as churches might need a pastor, they can't just go out and make them one. They have to ask God. And you know, Jesus said that the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. Our brother mentioned that the church in Montgomery needs a pastor. And I'm sure they're praying. And we ought to be joining them in prayer that God would send them a pastor. Because a God-sent pastor can do a church a lot of good. But one that God didn't send can do a lot of damage. So an ambassador is one that is chosen. And so certainly Paul was an ambassador chosen by God. And he was a good ambassador. Would you all agree with that?
Yeah.
What a wonderful ambassador the Apostle Paul was. And an ambassador has to be a citizen of the country that he represents.
Amen.
We wouldn't have an Iranian representing us as an ambassador or an Australian. He has to be an American citizen. And spiritual ambassadors have to be part of the family of God.
Amen.
Y'all do understand that. They are citizens of the country, and they represent the country that they are citizens of. And they're supported by their country. Ambassadors don't have to just support themselves. The country supports them, backs them up. And the churches today need to support and back up our ministers. Pray for them. Encourage them in the work of the ministry. How important that is. And I want to just say this in connection with what Brother Paul was so ably teaching us today. An ambassador does not go to England to turn English citizens into American citizens.
Amen.
That's not the purpose of an ambassador.
Right.
He's over there to represent American citizens, let's say, that are in England. Now, a lot of people think that gospel preachers are on earth to take people that are not citizens of heaven and make them citizens of heaven. That's not the purpose of an ambassador. The ambassador represents those that are an American representative or ambassador, represents those that are citizens of our country. And I want to say that the church today, as I see it, and I've seen it this way for a long time, is an embassy of heaven.
Yes.
And the purpose of an embassy is not to take aliens and make them American citizens. You go to Mexico as an American ambassador, you can't turn those Mexicans into American citizens. You can't do that. But you have an embassy down there that represents American citizens. And if you get in trouble as an American citizen in Mexico, you can flee to the embassy for refuge.
Right.
And you and I are not citizens of this world. We're just strangers passing through.
Amen.
How many of y'all ever feel like you're a stranger down here? Paul wrote, the Apostle Peter wrote to the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now they were strangers in those countries because they were Jewish people who had been driven out of Israel, persecuted for their Christian faith.
Right.
But they were strangers in another way. Like you and I are strangers in this world. We're just passing through. How many of y'all realize that you are pilgrims and strangers?
Amen.
Hebrews describes us as that.
Amen.
A pilgrim is somebody on his way home. A stranger is somebody away from home. I'm glad I'm a pilgrim and a stranger.
Amen.
I'm just passing through. When I was growing up, I used to hear African Americans, you'd ask them where they live and they'd say, I stay over here. They would never say, I live over here, I stay over there. And I've come to realize that's a good way to say it.
Right.
I'm just staying in Vestavia right now. But that's not my home. It is temporarily, but I'm just passing through this world. And I'm glad I have embassies like this today where I can come and find fellow citizens of heaven. Paul said our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation there, as I understand it, means our citizenship is in heaven.
Amen.
And I'm glad in this strange world we have places like Tuscaloosa Primitive Baptist Church, where we can come and find rest in this strange world that we live in. And you know, when you're a stranger in a foreign country, you always thinking about home.
Right.
Amen.
Brother Paul and I remember, I couldn't help Brother Paul, but think about the first time we ever went to Tanzania. I was homesick the first day. Matter of fact, I was very depressed because I saw the poverty.
Right.
I called my wife. We were able to communicate. And Nelda said, "Sam, you sound so depressed." And I was. The crushing poverty we saw just laid heavy on my heart. Until we got to the little tent where the saints were singing. And they were singing in Swahili. And I didn't know a word they were saying, but I recognized the tune.
Amen.
They were singing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And all of a sudden my spirit lifted.
Amen.
And I was in one of God's embassies.
Yeah, that's right.
Far away from home. Brother Paul and Brother Charles and I went to the American embassy. I just wanted to see our embassy. The truth is, I wanted a cup of coffee. I wanted a good cup of coffee. I love coffee. We've got a little thing over our coffee pot at home that says "Instant Human." Just add coffee. I tell you, I'm not really awake till I get a good cup of coffee.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I like 3 or 4 cups. And we stood outside the gate of that beautiful American embassy, and they wouldn't let us in.
Right.
And I said, "Please, I just want one." I figured they had a good coffee pot in there with some good coffee. All I want is one cup of coffee. And I won't ever remember the lady saying, "I do too." They wouldn't let us in because we weren't in trouble. Now, if we'd have been in trouble, they would have let us in. We'd have had refuge. But they weren't open just to tourists. But I tell you, it felt good just to be close to that embassy because that's American soil.
Right.
And I want to tell you, the church on this earth is an embassy.
Amen.
It's a heavenly embassy. It's a place of refuge for God's children. And so few ever really enjoy it. I want to share another experience before I go further. Brother Paul was talking about the title being clear. We had a fellow come to our church, and he and I got into a very good Bible discussion. And of course, he believed that he had to do something in order to go to heaven. And I brought up the statement Jesus made on the cross, "It is finished." What part of it is finished? Don't you understand? There's a lot that people don't understand about "it is finished."
Right.
But this brother he'd been to a Bible college and he understood the Greek word for "it is finished." I can't pronounce it. Some of you all probably can, but it's just one word in Greek. But in English, it takes three words to say what one Greek word can say: "it is finished," and the Greek word means "paid in full."
That's it.
Paid in full. What part of that don't we get?
Right.
Paid in full. And he said, and he could pronounce that Greek word, and he understood what the statement meant. Jesus said, "It is finished." He knew it meant paid in full. I said, "Well, that's it." He said, "Well," he had a son down here in Tuscaloosa in college. He said, "If I went down there and rented an apartment for him, and I paid it in full, but he never went, he wouldn't get the benefit out of it. I said, that's not what Jesus is talking about on the cross.
Right.
I said, if I owed $1,000 down here at the bank, and you went down there and paid it for me, it's paid in full.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know what he said to me? He said, the eyes of my understanding have been opened. Whether I knew, and if you, and if I owed the bank some money and you went down there to pay it, you think the bank would say, now we got to get Sam's permit before, permission before, the bank doesn't care whether I care or not. They care for the money being paid, right? And I want to tell you, the father wanted the sin debt paid. His son came and paid it. That's the work of reconciliation. And let me tell you, standing up here for 30 minutes or an hour preaching to you all is work in a way, but it's a pleasant work.
Right.
But it's the word of reconciliation. Nothing compared to what our Savior did on the cross.
Amen.
For 6 hours when He actually saved us from our sins.
Right.
Now, for the time that I have left before us today, I want to go with you over to Exodus chapter 20. And I want to look at a statement here in Exodus chapter 20 and beginning in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying... Now, God would speak audibly in the Old Testament. He could speak audibly today. But I believe this book is just as reliable as if God spoke audibly to us today. What about y'all? It's without error. So, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And He proceeds to give them the Ten Commandments. Now, I want you to notice with me this morning, and God spake all these words, saying, I have given you the Ten Commandments. Now, if you'll keep them, I'll get you out of Egypt.
No.
Is that what God said? Here they are in Egypt, they're slaves. Notice, God did not give them the Ten Commandments while they were in Egypt. In one passage in the Bible, God said, I brought you out of Egypt as on eagle's wings.
Right.
You know what that says? Their deliverance was by grace.
Amen.
God did it. He brought them out as on eagle's wings. They didn't do anything to deserve being delivered from that bondage. And how were they delivered? Because God said to Moses, I want you to tell every father of every Hebrew home to take a lamb, a firstling of the flock, a male of the first year, without any kind of blemish. And I want you to slay that animal and catch its blood in a basin, and then dip a sponge into that blood and put it over the doorpost and the lintel of every Hebrew home.
Right.
Now what is that a picture of? There's blood here, blood there, and blood there. I think that's a picture of the cross.
Yeah.
And God said, when I see your good works, when I see your righteous deeds, when I see the blood,
right,
I will pass over you. An innocent little lamb who had done nobody any harm had to die so that guilty, wretched people could be delivered from bondage. And that lamb, that firstling of the flock, and Jesus wasn't that old when He died. He was 33 years old. I'm telling you, that's getting younger and younger. I'm 70 years old. At the age of 33, as a lamb, a firstling of the flock, without blemish, See, they couldn't take just any old lamb and sacrifice him. It had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish.
Right.
And our Savior was without sin. The text our brother was preaching from in 2 Corinthians 5 says that. He was made to be sin who knew no sin.
Right.
Our Savior was sinless. He was perfect. That's one of the great miracles of His life, that He lived among sinners for 33 years and never committed one sin.
That's right.
He was examined thoroughly. And let me tell you, He was without sin. Pilate's wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Judas said, "I have betrayed innocent blood." The Father examined him and found nothing amiss in him.
Right.
And yet He takes the sinner's place and dies on the cross for all of us. And we're here today. You know, Brother Paul, talking about ambassadors. Ambassadors don't talk about themselves. They talk about their country.
Amen.
They talk about how wonderful their country is.
Right.
How wonderful the people are. How wonderful the land is. I don't care where anybody comes from. They're going to brag on their country.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you, ambassadors are here to brag on our Savior. That's what we're here for.
Right.
It's not about us. Reporters on the news, they don't report about themselves. They report about the news. And preachers are reporters. And a preacher that gets up preaching himself, he's out of line.
Right.
We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And beloved, if you don't leave here today seeing Jesus, we have failed.
Absolutely.
A preacher's job is to hold up Jesus. Hold up a portrait of Jesus. And I don't even want my little finger showing. I just want you to see Him in all of His glory.
Amen.
Amen. So, God said, "I brought you out as on eagle's wings." It wasn't them keeping the law. It was the blood of an innocent lamb. And God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And let me tell you, the only thing that's going to shield you and me from the wrath of an angry God at the final judgment is the blood
Amen.
Of the everlasting
Amen.
Covenant.
That is right.
And when Jesus sees the blood, He'll pass over us in judgment and welcome us home to glory.
Oh, home at last.
Home at last. Amen.
Amen.
And it's all through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, notice, and God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Now, beloved, why would He give them the Ten Commandments? I want you to reason with me this morning. Why would God give the Ten Commandments to a redeemed people?
Right.
Why would He do that? I've heard people say, "Well, He did it to show them how inadequate we are as human beings, what great sinners we are." Well, I would agree with that. Somebody said one time that reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he said, "I'd rather be hit by a sledgehammer in the head than preached on by the Sermon on the Mount." Because when you read the Sermon on the Mount, you recognize how far short we have come.
Amen.
We've missed the mark. So the law, the Ten Commandments, if they were up here today, they'd be, you know, thousands of feet tall. I step up next to them and I'm just very, very short. I don't come close to keeping the Ten Commandments. But I tell you what, another reason I believe God gave them the Ten Commandments. Because He loved them. And He wanted them to enjoy life. And those Ten Commandments, beloved, Let me tell you, those Ten Commandments are boundaries that God has set up for you and me in this world to keep us safe.
Right.
When my two girls were little, I put a chain link fence around our backyard at some expense. A lot of expense, actually, because it was a big backyard. You know why I put that chain link fence up? Because I'm a mean dad?
Yeah.
No, I put that fence up to keep my children safe.
Amen.
There was a lake across the road. I didn't want them drowning. I didn't want them running out in the street, getting hit by a car. Now, they didn't like the fence. I can tell you, my girls didn't like the fence. They felt fenced in, and they were. And I did it out of love. And I believe that's why God gave us the Ten Commandments. To keep us safe in this crazy, dark world that we live in. Another thing, Brother Paul, I remember, I don't know if you were with me or not on the trip when I rode the bus back from the mountains in Tanzania, in Kenya, back to Nairobi. And we had the craziest, he should be a race car driver instead of a bus driver because he was late. They wait till they get the bus filled up before they ever go. Well, those mountains did not have any kind of guardrails like we have in this country. I'm telling you. How many of y'all, when you're in the mountains, like to see those guardrails? Because you know if something happens and you go off, you're in trouble. It's a long way down there. Those guardrails are not there to be ugly or get in your way. They are there to keep you safe. And let me tell you, a God that loves us wants us safe in this broken, ruined world that we are in. And these Ten Commandments are given to us to keep us safe. And I want to say this. I believe our God wants our fellowship. You know, God is He's a Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And these three are three who are always fussing? No, these three are one. They've gotten along for all eternity. Never had a squabble. How many of y'all today in this house have lived on this earth and never had a disagreement or a falling out with anybody? Raise your hand. And if anybody raises their hand, I'm going to change my subject to lying. Because you desperately need to hear it. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost for all eternity have been in perfect harmony. Three in one. That is beyond comprehension.
That's right.
And our God is a relational God. And you know what? God wants you, your fellowship and my fellowship. I asked my wife the other day, I said, Nelda, have you ever thought about why the eternal sovereign God of this universe would care less whether we love Him or not? I want you to just ponder that a moment.
Yeah. Right.
Now let's look at us as we are by nature. We're just specks of dust.
Right.
As the Bible says in Isaiah that the whole human race would be like the drop in a bucket. 7 billion of us represented by one tiny drop down there in the bucket. I'm 1/7 billion of a drop. Why do you think God would care whether Sam Bryant loves him or not? I tell you, and Nelda said, I've never thought about it. She said, I've always marveled at the fact He loved me. Well, that is amazing. But I want to tell you, God loves you. He loves you so much, He gave His Son to die for you on the cross.
Amen.
And now the first and greatest commandment of all is to what? Love the Lord thy God.
Right.
Why does He care? Because he loves you with a perfect love. That's incomprehensible. Paul said it's incomprehensible. It is. The older I get, the more I stand in awe of God's love. Right. Unconditional love. And the more I understand it, the more it makes me want to love him.
Right.
He wants fellowship. How many parents in this house today want fellowship with your children?
Right.
With your grandkids? Mm-hmm. Come on now. I saw the other day on the news about a man who was a Wall Street... No, he was a reporter for the New York Times. And his passion, his dream was to be a great reporter and to have a great career and be popular and wealthy. And he succeeded at it. But in the process, he lost his family, his home, his marriage. And he wrote a book recently called The Second Mountain. He said, "The first mountain I climbed, my career, making money, being popular, being famous, I got up there. But the second mountain, I'm trying to get my family back. Trying to get my wife back. Because what does all this mean if I don't have my family?" Let me tell you, I'd rather live in a railroad car down by the tracks where there is love than to live in a great mansion all by myself. Now, come on, y'all get that.
Right.
Anybody with a thinking mind's going to get this. Right? Well, our God wants you in heaven with Him. And He's going to have you there.
Right.
But right now, He wants you.
Amen. Amen.
To walk with Him.
That's right.
And have fellowship with Him. And these Ten Commandments, they're not ten... It's not a multiplication deal, and it's not, you know, one out of ten. He wants us. Let's look at it. He says, "I don't want you to have any other gods before me." And let me tell you, our country is full of idols.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to cuss. Let me just, as Brother Paul said in my country way, kind of summarize these commandments. He wants us to go to church. He wants us to honor our parents. He doesn't want us killing anybody. He wants us to be faithful in marriage. He doesn't want us stealing. He doesn't want us lying. And He doesn't want us coveting.
Right.
Now, if I've got to keep all that to go to heaven, there's no hope. But let me tell you, I serve a God who is merciful.
Absolutely.
And long-suffering. And when I fail, I can go to Him and say, "Father, I failed.
Yes.
Would You please
Amen.
Have mercy on me?
Thank the Lord.
And help me to get back on the straight and narrow." See, historians think maybe there were 2 to 3 million Hebrews that got out of Egypt under the blood. That's a lot of people. You know how many of those above the age of 20 got into the promised land? 2. Joshua and Caleb. Now the promised land does not represent heaven. Because there's hills and valleys over there. And giants and walled cities. And let me tell you, I don't believe there's going to be any of that in heaven. But in the church today and in Christian living, there are battles to fight. There's spiritual warfare going on all the time. Giants to overcome. And let me tell you, beloved, this country... Our country's in trouble. Our prisons are full and running over. Our rehab centers for drug addicts is running over. Children leaving home because of so much dysfunction going on there. There's so much trouble in this country. Divorce courts are backed up. Why? Because we have not honored the Ten Commandments that God gave us. The government... The more they try to help, I think the worse it gets. Did you know a government at best is nothing but a necessary evil? And at worst, it's intolerable. And that's about what we've got. You know what's going to help America? Get back to the basics.
Right. Amen.
The Word of the Living God. And these Ten Commandments are there for our benefit.
Yes,
and if we, and the more we keep them, the more fellowship we're going to have with our Savior.
Yeah.
because He loves us. One time when I was a boy, I had a nephew. You know, I've got nieces and nephews older than I am. I told that somebody a while back. They said, "What kind of family did you come out of?"
A big family,
right? I got brothers and sisters that are old enough to have kids before I was ever born. But one of my nephews, his daddy smoked Marlboro cigarettes, and he would steal a pack, and my nephew and I would smoke them. And you know, Marlboro was advertised by the Marlboro Cowboy. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And we'd be smoking and felt like we were a cowboy. Well, my mama found out about it. And I found out I wasn't a cowboy. I found out I was her little boy. And my mama put a whipping on me. Now, my mama had a doctorate degree in discipline. I was the 15th of kids, so she had a lot of practice. That's why I'm such a good boy. Forgive me for that. You couldn't fool my mama. Now, when she was whipping me, I didn't feel loved, but I was loved. She didn't want me addicted to nicotine. And let me tell you, folks, when your Heavenly Father starts disciplining you, when you're out of line, just know it's because He loves you.
Amen.
And He wants our fellowship in this world. And it's sad, sad, sad that only two of the redeemed Hebrews got into the promised land. Yes, the promised land was hard. They had to fight. They had to cultivate. They had to do a lot of things. You have in the church. Don't ever think if I join the church, my troubles are over. No, no, no. But let me tell you, it's infinitely better than the wilderness. They ate the same food every day for 40 years. How many of y'all would like to eat the same stuff every day? Come on now. Nell and I had a guest in our home the other night, and I told her we were going to have pizza. When she got there, we had something totally different. She said, "I'm so glad, because I had pizza for lunch." We don't want pizza twice in a row. Now, the teenagers might, but I don't. How many of y'all want the same food every day for 40 years? I told that a while back at Vestavia. This little boy came up to me and said, "Brother Sam, if God would rain down ice cream every day, I'd like it." But he'd get tired of vanilla.
Yeah, right.
Drinking water out there, out of a rock, that's survival. That's where most people are in America today, just surviving.
Right.
When they could be over here in the kingdom of God. I tell you, I sat there this morning. I told Brother Buddy, I said, "That is good singing. It just lifted me up."
Absolutely.
I don't want to lose this, but I could. I can't lose my home in glory, but I can lose to the point where I can't read my title clear. You can forget that you were purged from your old sins. I don't want to be there. Let's appreciate what we have today in the kingdom. If you're looking for a perfect church, I'm sure Brother Blair would say, "Y'all just pass us by." Please don't come to Vestavia if you're looking for a perfect church. But if you're looking for a church that loves God, loves one another, loves the gospel, come see us. Thank you all. God bless you.
Changing of preaching this morning. Just thinking of Brother Sam and pose that question of, you know, what it means to God for us to love Him. Well, that's important. On occasion when we miss an opportunity to come out to be in a meeting like this, we think, "Oh, well, I miss a blessing." I heard people express it. Well, I know I miss a blessing. And that's true, but what we really miss is an opportunity to show forth our love for Him.
Amen. Amen.
And then I've got one that died for us, one that loved us with everlasting love, and we missed an opportunity to come out and show that love to Him. Just be mindful of that. Isn't it wonderful to be together like that?
Amen.
Real stuff. We heard about title, inheritance, and our masters. We're going to close number 507. We're going to hold the handshake for after this afternoon service. And I certainly encourage you. We'll probably have a fairly quick lunch. We'll get back in here probably before 1 o'clock. And I just ask if there's anything more important you got to do for a couple of hours after lunch. Praise the Lord that died here on the cross.
Amen.
If you do, you feel, just go right ahead with it. If you don't, you join us back here after lunch. Stand, let's sing the first two to the last verse. Number 507. You know, in services like this, sometimes I just feel like I'm if that old is heaven, I'm ready to go there.
Yeah.
If that old is another day down here, well, I'm ready for that too.
Amen.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on.
Anything else? Brother Craig, I know that there are Elder Mike Ivey and some, I think maybe Elder Tim McCools, is going over to Ghana or somewhere in Africa for a trip coming up this next month. And Charles Kitchens and I and Silas Ford and Derek Kitchens and David Wise are going in July to a different part. So please be in prayer for us. There's a lot of work needs to be done. A lot of people are coming in from other places to hear the gospel and believing it and beginning to see their title clear.
Keep his brethren in mind as they make these journeys. So travel and Lord bless you for the day. Nothing else. Brother Philip, if you would dismiss and say the blessing, please.
God, gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, dear Lord, for what has gone before. We thank you, dear Lord, for these dear brethren that have come our ambassadors for the thank thee for this embassy we have to come in out of the world and worship thy name in spirit and in truth, dear Lord. Get away from those things that torment us out in this world, dear Lord. Thank you for the mercy and grace you've showed upon us. And though we are so undeserving, dear Lord, you see, granted us grace and mercy. And we're thankful for that, oh Lord. We hope to praise thee better as time goes on. Learn to read our title more clearly, Lord. We hope to praise thee more for it. Please bless the food that's been prepared this evening. Bless the dirt in our bodies and our bodies in thy service, and they will be found in the way and acting in a way that will be pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.